or you can email me and we'll teach you how to do it. It's very simple. Now, if you want to practice hypnosis on someone else, see, Huna actually enhances the use of hypnosis because the kahunas knew how to use a lot of hypnotic techniques. So this is a way in which you can combine both disciplines into pretty much the same thing. It's all really Huna, the way we're talking about it here. So in order to do this really effectively, what you need to do is you got to practice all your projection of energy. You got to have a lot of energy, and you got to know how to project it, and you got to know how to create each and every one of the vibrational levels you want. Also, you got to practice visualizing. You got to get good at visualizing. The more vividly, the better, because this is what you want to do. You want to do several things. While you're in the process of inducing trance in someone, you want to have a clear image, a visualized image of what you want happening. Like, say, a picture of them vividly going deep into trance, or already being into the deepest possible trance, and you want your unconscious mind to have a picture of that. So you want to take that picture you visualize and send it to your unconscious mind as you're doing the trance induction, so that your unconscious mind knows what you want happen. And as long as your unconscious mind has that picture there, and as long as you have enough energy to energize that picture, it's going to be sent, guess where? To your superconscious mind, and guess what's going to happen? Your superconscious mind is going to make that happen. So in essence, you're combining a Huna prayer with your hypnotic induction. So you're hypnotizing someone through normal, conventional, verbal or nonverbal means. At the same time, you're using your superconscious mind, your higher self, to make it happen the way you want it to happen. That's one thing you're going to be doing, but that's not all. You're going to be generating whatever you want. See, whatever the purpose of your inducing trance in someone is, that's what you're going to be generating. If you want to change your belief system in trance, guess what? You're going to be generating the new beliefs that you want them to acquire inside yourself at the mental level, and you're going to be energizing it. Not only that, if you want them to feel a particular way, like feel drowsy, sleepy, deep into trance, what are you going to do? You can generate those feelings at the emotional level, or even at the energetic level, because those things work at the energetic level too. And guess what? You're going to keep energizing those vibrations, and you're going to do what with them? You're going to send them all to your psychic level so that it gets projected into their unconscious mind directly. That's right, just like you did. And the guardian exercise you're going to be doing here. Because not only are you going to be doing the normal hypnosis, you're going to have your superconscious mind creating a reality where that happens. You're also going to be projecting at the psychic level really strongly all the things that you want to happen. And guess what? The more energy you put into it, the more strongly you're going to be projecting it. So that's why it's key. It's probably the one most important thing in Huna is to know how to develop energy. Because without energy, nothing else works. So if you're doing something and it's not working, it may be a procedural mistake that you can quickly correct by, you know, learning how to do it right. But more likely than not, it's that your level of energy is not high enough, or the energy is stuck and not flowing properly. If the energy is high enough and it's flowing properly, everything works. And we're going to do even more. Because while you're doing all of this, you're going to be imagining in your unconscious mind, you're going to be pretending, but it's going to become a reality, that the both of you, yourself the hypnotist and your subject, are within your garden. And inside your garden, guess what? Everything that you want is going to happen. So the person's getting hypnotized inside your garden. And once they're in trance, guess what you're going to do? You're going to move the both of you into their garden. And you're going to keep on doing this inside their garden. So it's really important for this to happen. Two things. Once again, your unconscious mind must have a clear picture of what that means. And you must have enough energy to energize this so that it becomes a reality. So the both of you in your garden, all the way, transporting both of you into their garden. Then you can have them move around and change things in their garden. You can have them, it's what in hypnosis it's called hallucination, but in reality it's happening inside their unconscious mind, so it's not exactly a hallucination, although you could call it that. And then you can begin doing spatial anchoring. What does that mean? Well, if you know about anchoring, you know what I'm talking about. If not, anchoring means a trigger, something that you do, say, touch, feel, anything that's a trigger. It's like a switch for some reaction to happen. And inside their minds, they have tons of reactions that are pre-programmed in their unconscious mind, because their unconscious mind works unconsciously. And what triggers these things ultimately are symbols inside their minds. So once you're inside their garden, you can have them physically ask them to go ahead, grab something, like, you know, something that's symbolic, like a little bird, a fountain, anything they can touch, feel, smell, taste, it doesn't matter. Anything in their garden is going to be a symbol for something in their unconscious minds. So find out what the symbols mean and have them move them around. Have them walk up in space and move them around. Like, they're going to look kind of like a mime. If a third person was watching, it would seem like a mime doing things in the air. Of course, you're going to be able to tell what they're moving because you're in deep rapport with them and inside your garden, and they're going to be imagining things just like you are. So you're going to be visualizing what's inside the garden. But someone else would see them move things in the air. So you want them to actually do the things, move things around in space inside that garden, and you can have the strongest possible anchors you could ever think of, you could ever want, and the most useful things you can possibly do, you can do by moving around things in that garden. For even more powerful and creative results, you can create symbols along with them inside that garden and leave them in the garden so you can trigger them whenever you want. I'm not recommending that you do this, but just to let you know what can happen, in case you're in the opposite end of the situation, you know what's happening. If a hypnotist makes a statue of themselves and gives them a prominent place inside the other person's garden, guess what happens? Your image becomes a powerful symbol inside someone else's unconscious. And depending on how you define that symbol, that's how they're going to react to you every single time they think of you, every time they see you, even if they see a picture of you. The same thing with your voice. You can make it a voice that's echoing through the garden, meaning whatever. See, in a therapeutic setting, hypnotists may find useful ways of using this. In other settings, well, it's up to you and your ethics. And remember, I'm giving you really powerful stuff here. Use it ethically, because otherwise you're going to get into trouble. Believe me, you will get into trouble. And not only that, worse than that, you're going to get someone else into trouble and problems. You don't want to cause problems for someone else. So please be really ethical. Think about what you're doing before you actually do it. And all these changes that you make in your garden, their garden, guess what? They're not going to be permanent unless you can energize it enough. If you put enough energy into them, your unconscious mind, their unconscious mind, will accept it as fact and send that to your respective superconscious minds. Now, anything you do that's harmful to someone else, or it's harmful to you, someone else does it to you, if they're sufficiently connected from their unconscious to their superconscious mind, meaning they're not too blocked up, guess what? It's not going to work, because their superconscious mind is going to protect them, and it's going to clear out that stuff, and it may even send it back to you if you're blocked up also at the unconscious level. So another reason why you should actually eliminate all those blockages at the unconscious level. Someone who's really clear at the unconscious level, guess what? You cannot really do much to injure them in this way or in any way. Why? Because their superconscious mind will protect them, will clean out anything, any curse, any bad thing, any bad suggestion, any bad vibe, anything negative you throw at them, their superconscious mind will clear. See, the people who actually can be affected negatively by curses and such have a certain level of blockages they need to deal with at the unconscious level, because it's at the blockages that all this negativity gets attached to. If you clear it out in them, in yourself, superconscious mind will help you, protect you, keep negativity away from you. It's not going to have anywhere to attach itself to, and you're perfectly safe. I'm still packing a lot of stuff into these CDs, and originally I had intended to like spread the material through a number of CDs, make it a few more CDs so we can discuss a few more things, but the problem with that is that it doesn't give you enough time to listen to each CD over and over again. Because the important thing is to listen to the CDs, understand the concepts, and do the exercises. And I'm cutting down through the chase. I'm just letting you know what's really essential, what you really need to do. And by compressing all the information and putting it in fewer CDs, even though they're pretty long, it allows you to listen to each one of them several times, which is the main goal of this. I'm saying this because there's a lot of courses out there that are mostly fluff. You get one or two useful things, you listen to 12 hours of tapes, and you got maybe an hour's worth of good material. The rest of just, you know, anecdotes or laughing or people in a class or a seminar asking questions that are mostly relevant to your case. See, I don't want to do that because I really need you to listen to these CDs several times. So I'm going to say it one more time. I've said it a few times throughout the whole program. I'm going to say it again because I want you to really do it. If you do nothing else, listen to the CDs at least 3 or 4 times each. And it's better yet if you listen to each one through. Just, you know, take an hour out of your day and just listen to one old CD from beginning to end, nonstop. Well, maybe you can pause here and there to do some of the exercises as I tell you to do them. But from beginning to end, don't listen to like part of it today, part of it tomorrow. Listen to a CD one day, CD one. One day, CD two. One day, CD three, and so on. If at any point you feel there's just too much material, that's perfectly fine. That's okay. Listen to the CD from beginning to end, do the exercises, and then just take an hour, half an hour, however long you can, and write down, buy a notebook for this, write down all your questions, because you're going to make it an exercise to have your superconscious mind answer your questions. That's a great thing about HUNA. Anything you can't really figure out, guess what? Your superconscious mind is going to give you the right answer. Your higher self knows. So write down all the questions. I mean, you can always ask me also, of course. I'm more than happy to answer the questions. But this is a better exercise. Have your higher self answer for you the questions that you may have. And your higher self will give the answer to your unconscious mind. So you got to have your conscious mind in tune with your unconscious mind. Listen to what your unconscious says. And it's better that way because then your unconscious mind learns directly from your superconscious mind, from your higher self, and gets reprogrammed in the right way. Remember that every exercise that I give you is really important. Everything I say, I've said because it's important for you to do or learn or understand in order to master these techniques. And when you practice a HUNA prayer, like everything else, if you do it within your garden, then guess what? It's stronger, more powerful. Here are some things that traditionally kahunas would actually pray for in their gardens and ways of manifesting them. It's not asking about specific things, although you can ask about specific things, but then you have to visualize what you want really vividly and specifically. If you want general things, I'm going to give you 4 general things that kahunas would always ask for and have manifest within their gardens. And I'll tell you more or less how to do it. One was peace, being relaxed, stress-free, having a peaceful life. And what they would do while they were doing their HUNA prayer was within their garden, they would see everything. Everything serene, quiet. See, think of the landscape that most conveys and symbolizes for you peacefulness. And that's the landscape of your garden, the landscape your garden should have while you're doing this particular prayer. Notice the trees. Think of trees, plants that make you feel peaceful. Maybe running water, maybe still water. It's really up to your unconscious mind and your symbolism, what it wants to present to your higher self. But just think of things that are peaceful and take that image of peace and send it up to your superconscious mind, to your higher self. Once you've really, really, really gotten the feeling of peace within your garden.